All right, ladies and germs, welcome to Trailer Blazers. Like Lewis and Clark before us, we navigate the unexplored frontier of the 2020 moviescape.
Why, it's going to be an exciting time, Nick.
My name is Nick Kelly, and, oh, well, I gotta tell you, I'm just the cat's pajamas.
And my name's Ben Moon, and I'm a real humdinger.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is, of course, Trailer Blazers, the very serious movie podcast about trailers and other nonsense.
We're going to systematically break down these trailers, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty, and then we're going to poop on some of them.
We are. Some of them weren't that great. But as we have taken to recently, we're going to open off the show by talking about what we watched this week. Ben, what did you watch this week?
I finished The Witcher. So I am indeed tossing a coin to my Witcher. I love the ending.
Toss a coin to your Witcher, O Valley of Plenty.
It was extremely good the way they tied in the timelines together.
It was. I found it very satisfying. I was able to keep up with it without having to go on like Wikipedia and read about it. And then promptly once I finished it, I went on Spotify and I listened to the Netflix podcast. I think it's called Behind the Scenes. And they did the first episode about Geralt. And it's a really fun podcast where they talk to the people that created the show and interview people. It's really, really interesting. Highly recommend that podcast.
I subscribed to it. I haven't checked it out yet.
It's real good. It's real nice. I finished watching The Witcher, and then I immediately started watching Lost in Space Season 2. I'm about a little over... I'm three episodes in. It is great. I love it. It's unique in that it's like a family unit that is not perfect, but they really do love each other, and they're able to work as a team, and that's kind of the way the show works. And I love that. It feels fresh. And the special effects are incredible. They are movie quality special effects.
They're getting better at that on TV, because I'll say forever and I'll die on this hill that His Dark Materials was the best special effects I've seen, movie or television or otherwise.
Indeed, you have said that. Now, I am also listening to something, Nick, not necessarily watching. I'm listening to a novel that was suggested to me on the Hoopla app, which is a library app that you can listen to audiobooks for free. You just check them out. So I'm listening to a novel called Time's Eye by Arthur C. Clarke.
He wrote iRobot, right?
I believe he did.
Or was it he that 2001? No, Isaac Asimov wrote iRobot. Arthur C. Clarke is 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's right. So this, it's a very interesting novel, sort of violent at times. But I'll spare you. You can go online and read the synopsis of it. But that has been kind of a fun listen as I paint shoes. And then I've also been watching Red Bull TV to keep up with the Dakar Rally, which is like the largest rally in the world. There's like over 500 competitors. And they're racing across Saudi Arabia, like the entire country. So it is a really interesting rally, and Red Bull TV does a good job of covering it, so it's a nice fun watch. You can project that from your phone onto your TV if you want. It's nice.
Who do you want to win?
I don't really have a team I'm rooting for. I just like to watch it.
So it's like me with curling.
Catch the fever. It is indeed like you don't want Team USA to win. Come on, man.
Well, I'll watch anyone though, is what I'm saying. I want USA to win when they're playing.
Yeah. But you'll watch other countries play other countries.
Yeah.
Same.
It's the best sport.
I do love curling. So that's what I've been watching. What have you been watching, good sir?
So I watched a couple things. I watched a bunch of things, actually, this week. The first thing was I watched that BBC Dracula show that we had actually covered a trailer for a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. When we watched the trailer, we weren't too sure about it, and then... I watched the show and I didn't realize, or if I had known ahead of time, I forgot, or it didn't really make an impression on me, that it was a Stephen Moffat show. And so we thought it looked kind of grisly when we saw the trailer, but it was Stephen Moffat, so it really wasn't. It was kind of cheesy sometimes it was fun and sometimes it was stupid in a Stephen Moffat type way. So if you liked his run on Doctor Who or Sherlock, I would say that you would probably enjoy it. I thought it was fun at times. It wasn't great. There was one character that was great, and I hope to see her pop up in other things. But apart from that, it was all right. I watched The Lighthouse, which is the second film from Robert Eggers, who directed The Witch. That was pretty good. It was very Lovecrafty. They used a lot of old technology to film it. Like, they used old turn-of-the-century lenses and everything. And there's a lot of... it was black and white. There's one scene where there's these seagulls in the background that are clearly, like, fake seagulls on wires. And it was supposed to... Because it's supposed to look like an old movie. It was kind of creepy, and it was funny at times. I liked that. It was a very Lovecrafty. It was very, very Lovecrafty.
Interesting.
I got an Echo Show, which you can watch movies on. So I watched a couple movies just like in the background while I was doing other things. The first of which was Booksmart, that I had heard was really good. It was kind of just like a Gen Z Superbad. So I don't know. I liked Superbad when it came out. I think I'm a little old for these kind of movies now.
You're not the target audience anymore.
So I thought it was a little overhyped. It wasn't that funny to me, but some of the directing was really good, and it was directed by Olivia Wilde, who is she's really cool. And what my main takeaway was that if she's gonna keep directing stuff, I'm gonna watch it, because there's this extended scene towards the end with where the music is really in sync with the cinematography, and it was really good. I stopped what I was doing, and I was just staring at the Echo when that scene was happening. It was like a scene with a swimming pool. If you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But and then I watched Lady Bird, which weirdly had almost the same cast. Like, it was a bunch of people in it that overlapped.
And this movie, Lady Bird, has like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Yeah, it was Saoirse Ronan was in it, and it was directed by Greta Gerwig, who I think she was nominated for Best Director for it last year. Or she might have won. I don't keep track of the Oscars, but it was a good movie. It was sort of one of those movies where it's just like a slice of life movie for this character. Like, you follow her for a certain amount of time, and really good acting in that movie, really good direction. And then I watched the Disney Aladdin last night, the live action one.
Yeah, it just came out on Disney Plus. I think I'm gonna watch it too. What'd you think?
Of all of the live action ones, I thought it was more fun than most of the other ones I'd seen. These live action ones haven't been great so far. Like, I'm looking forward to Mulan, but the other ones, the other ones just seem like they're sort of just making them to make them. This one, it was more fun than the other ones. I enjoyed it more than The Lion King, which seemed very uninspired to me.
This is our man Guy Ritchie too that made it, right?
Yeah, and I can understand why they wanted him, because there's like chasing thieves through a city street, you know? That's like pure Guy Ritchie there.
That is definitely Guy Ritchie. I'm going to watch that maybe this weekend. I might sit down and watch that.
It was definitely worth watching for free on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right, great. Well, that's what we watched this week. But before we get to the new trailers, why don't we do the questions times, Nick?
The questions times.
So we did have a lot of responses to last week's questions times, which we will get to in a little bit. But the new questions for this week, we've got two of them for you. The first one is, we've already freed Willie, but what needs to be freed today?
Yeah, this question, you posted it, and I was not entirely sure what you meant. So I was waiting for you to answer before I answered.
Yes. So I was like, okay, you know, you can go the animal route. And I said, okay, well, elephants in the circus and also elephants in Thailand, they need to be free. They are mistreated in Thailand. If you National Geographic will let you know about that. So I figured those two, like, elephants, like, can we just let elephants be in the wild and stop killing them?
I agree, 100%.
Let's just do that. Yeah. So the animal route is there. Now, also tied to the animal route, I would say America's taboo of eating insects. We need to be freed from that taboo.
I know that you just posted this because you bought those cricket protein bars and you want to talk about it.
It is. Well, I do. No doubt about it, I do. I bought cricket protein bars. There was a deal on Facebook of all places. So it was like 12 bars for $10. They're normally $30. So I bought it, and they're, and you know what? I'm going to eat them, and I'll tell you about it maybe next episode, how they are.
All right, Ben Renfield.
So I'm really interested in that. And then Ben Renfield, jeez Louise. Also, Pete, everybody that's addicted to social media, y'all need to be freed. Y'all need to be freed. And I say that because I took a break from Facebook about 2 months ago or 3 months ago, you know, for about a couple of weeks. And when I came back, the allure was lost. And so I've been spending a lot less time on it. I mean, mostly Instagram is where I spend most of my time. But like Facebook and stuff, like, y'all don't need, the only opinions you need are that of the Trailer Blazers, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, follow our social media.
Yes. The good thing about Trailer Blazers is you can clean the kitchen while listening to us, but if you're looking at a screen, you can't do that.
That's true. I don't like social media really either. I use Instagram. I sort of apply the Marie Kondo cleaning up method to my social media, where if it sparks joy, then I'll use it.
And there it is.
Yeah, so Twitter does not spark joy, so I deleted that. And Facebook, meh. I use Facebook for one podcast group, and that's pretty much it.
I have a friend that said, you know, what you need to do is block keywords, block people from your feeds because nobody has a right to your attention online. And I thought that was a good word, man. I hadn't thought about it quite in that angle, so I may do that. I use Twitter mostly to communicate with like companies rather than like individuals.
I feel like if you put them on blast on Twitter, they're more likely to deal with things than if you try to get in touch with them through the ways they want you to.
Yeah. What needs to be freed, Nick?
So I agreed about the elephants, and then the only thing is, we need to free ourselves from, like, gasoline cars. There's no need for it. We should all have Cybertrucks.
I would drive a Cyber... If they said, hey, man, if you trade in your Ford Flex that you love for a Cybertruck, I would say, sign me up. Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Yeah, I'll trade in my car, too. Shoot.
I do want... I mean, who didn't want a Tesla? I mean, they're awesome.
Yeah, I want a Tesla Cybertruck so I can drive on Mars.
I'll tell you what I want, Nick. I want a tube travel system like, what's
Futurama?
Shut up and take my money.
Yes. No, what's the tube system that Elon Musk is building out in California? Hyperloop?
The Hyperloop.
Yeah, I want a Hyperloop between Birmingham and Atlanta and then Birmingham and Nashville. If I was like super rich, that's what I'd invest in, building the Hyperloop between those three cities.
Well, we tried to put in a train going from Minneapolis to Chicago, but I think Scott Walker in Wisconsin blocked that from happening. But he's fired now, so.
So it could happen now. Well,
Could be.
So those are good answers, but we'll post the questions for you folks to answer. Maybe you want to free all the other willies that are still at SeaWorld. I think they're not catching anymore, right? So.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever else needs to be freed, you let us know, folks. And then the other question we have is, if Disney decided to remake the prequels, who would you want to write, direct, and star in it?
That's a good question. I was thinking about this all week.
So if you are at home and you want to answer this question, it's going to require a little bit of thought. You know, you're going to have to sit down and think. Like Pooh Bah.
Yeah, my answer that I landed on was, I would like for Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau to make them, because they did a good job with Mandalorian, and Dave Filoni did a good job with Clone Wars and with Rebels. And then I would also be okay with Deborah Chow directing, because she directed my favorite episode of The Mandalorian, which was that third episode with the citywide brawl going on, and they both have Star Wars experience already, so that would be good. Ewan McGregor is perfect. He can stay as Obi-Wan, and I was thinking Sebastian Stan would be a better Anakin because he looks like Mark Hamill and he's a bigger dude. I think he's taller, and Darth Vader is tall and big, and in the movie he was shrimpy.
I think that's a really good answer, and I didn't even think about that, but Sebastian Stan would be perfect for that, for the older Anakin.
Yeah, and I don't think I would do a younger one. I don't think I would have started them the way they did with Anakin being that young. I wouldn't have even done that. Maybe a flashback or something, you know, a little exposition if you need it, but I would have started right at the Clone Wars probably.
I think we both want armored Jedi in our prequels, don't we?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, armored Jedis are the coolest. I eventually want to make an armored Jedi costume, I think.
See, I like the Clone Wars series a lot. I don't have a problem with the premise of the prequels. There's a lot of good stuff in them. It's just the execution was a little chonky.
Chonky. So I thought maybe the Russo brothers could write and direct all of them, since we know they have a good track record with the Marvel stuff. But then I also thought, you know what? I think I would like a J.J. Abrams and to do the entire trilogy. And you might say, how dare you, Ben? First of all, how dare? But I don't care. I like J.J. Abrams. I like what he did with the new ones. I mean, he was probably hamstringed a bit, but if you just gave him creative freedom and a good writing team, maybe.
Yeah, and if you gave him the opportunity to write an outline for three movies at the beginning.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and just let him handle all of them, sort of like Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings, you know. So so those would be my answers probably there. Definitely Ewan McGregor can stay Obi-Wan, thanks. I thought this Timothy Chalamet as Anakin, as a younger Anakin, might work.
Hard pass from me on there.
Why do you say? Now, I actually haven't seen anything with this kid in it, but what do you say hard pass?
I just watched Lady Bird, which he was in, and he's too shrimpy, and he's too close to the kind of emo Hayden Christensen aesthetic that I didn't like in the first place.
See, I just thought maybe if he still had sort of that darker side but could actually be good acting with a good script, it might work.
It's the wrong kind of dark side, if you ask me. It's
well, I will take your opinion. I will value your opinion. Because I've actually not seen this kid act in anything. I've just seen images of him.
Yeah, I just think he's too shrimpy. Darth Vader's huge.
Well, I was thinking this is more like the teenage one, and then we can get maybe, yeah, like a Sebastian Stan, potentially. And then I thought Emma Stone is Padme, just because I love Emma Stone. I want her in everything.
I'm gonna hard agree with this one.
And if we need to do a little technology to make her look even younger, I'm totally fine with that. If it was good enough for The Irishman, it's good enough for Star Wars. So I just love Emma Stone.
As long as they got the people who did the Marvel movies instead of the people who did the young Leia in Rogue One.
Yeah, we do not want that. Then I thought maybe Kyle Mooney as some type of alien Jar Jar replacement, because I think Kyle Mooney is a comedic genius and he's hilarious.
He's very good.
If you've never seen his old YouTube channel, you should go watch some of his stuff on his old YouTube channel. It is so funny.
I have not, and I will be checking that out.
Oh my gosh. It's hilarious. Some of his stuff. Anyway, so, and then I thought, you know, who could play Qui-Gon Jinn? And I thought Idris Elba might be an interesting person to be a Qui-Gon Jinn.
I would be so on board with this if he wasn't in the Cats movie, because I've sort of lost some respect for him.
I want him to redeem himself. This is his opportunity for him to redeem himself.
I can only see him as a cat now.
Ugh, why? And then I thought, you know what? We need Ahsoka in the movies. She's in the Clone War animated stuff. We need her. And then I saw an image of Maya Hawke. And I just thought, yes, that's perfect.
Ahsoka is one of my maybe top three favorite Star Wars characters. And I'd be so hung up on the voice. I would almost be better if they were really... they were really good at it somehow, if they could make Ashley Eckstein do her voice somehow. And then I'd be okay with anyone playing her. But it's, Ahsoka's voice to me is Ahsoka's voice.
Say, I haven't watched the series yet because I'm waiting to watch it with my boy. And so I'm not married to the voice. I don't even, you know. But she's a cool character. I know that. I've seen clips. Young Anakin, I put I don't know because I don't know. I don't know who any good child actors are. And maybe you're right, Nick. Maybe we don't even need that chapter.
I don't think we do. I think that was one of the problems is that they started with that. And it's Darth Vader. I don't care. I don't need to see him as a 10-year-old saying dumb George Lucas lines.
Yeah, I mean, you almost could change the story up and, like, have Watto sell him, and he's on some slave barge in space that gets attacked, and then he's, like, gets rescued by the Jedi or something like that, and Qui-Gon, and I don't know, something like that. So, anyway, what do you guys think? Who, if they remade the prequels, what would be good? You tell us. What characters would you add? Which ones would you remove? What would you focus on? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I think... some things I would make some of the characters last a little longer too. I would make Darth Maul last through the first three movies. I would start with General Grievous earlier because he's a good character too in Clone Wars. So I would have him throughout all three, and then maybe have Jango Fett last a little longer.
Yeah. Also, Jango Fett keep his helmet on so he's an actual Mandalorian.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Mandalorian.
Well, maybe we could hash that out in the new prequels. All right, so that brings us to the new trailers, the new stuff.
We got some surprises this week, first of which being a trailer for a movie that I didn't think was actually going to ever come out.
Not only is it coming out, Nick, but I don't know if you saw the news, but Marvel Studios is saying that this is in the MCU.
I didn't see that. I did not read that anywhere.
I read that somewhere, so it was on the internet, so you know it's true. But where people are wondering if this is how they're going to introduce the mutants into the MCU. I don't know.
I would need to hear Kevin Feige say that personally before I believed it.
I am on board with that 100%. I totally agree. If he doesn't, if it's got to come from his mouth.
Yeah. I did hear that this is the director's original cut. I know they... this was originally supposed to come out a couple years ago, and they wanted to film some new scenes to add some new characters or something, which is a total Fox move, and this isn't that. This is the original one that he wanted to make, like the director's cut, so I don't know.
This movie looks like it takes place entirely within a facility. But yet the character Cannonball, who's one of my favorite mutants, is in this. Why are we putting this particular mutant into a movie where it's like nearly completely inside? If you guys don't know who Cannonball is, his mutant power is to basically make the bottom portion of his body like a cannon, and he can fly through the air. And he's also an Eternal, so he's immortal. I've also got Maisie in there.
Oh yeah, she's Wolfsbane, I think.
There's some great Marvel characters in this, and I just wonder how they're going to handle it. It's filmed like a horror movie, right?
Yeah, this trailer was lit by a jar full of fireflies. It was a very dark, physically dark trailer.
You can't see anything in this. If you're trying to watch this on your phone in like daylight, you will not see anything. It'll just be a black screen.
I couldn't see any details until I watched it on my computer screen with the lights off, because it was lit by a VHS copy of the 1981 film Tuck Everlasting.
I've seen 13th Century Dungeons lit better than this trailer.
This trailer was lit by glow sticks that were from a rave that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, this trailer was lit by Harry Potter under his sheets saying Lumos.
This trailer was lit by a bunch of moon jellyfish.
This trailer was lit by the bathroom light that you left on, but you closed the door and the only light's coming underneath the door into the hallway. It's lit by that.
This trailer was lit by when you're trying to use an app that's in dark mode to get back to your bedroom at night.
This trailer was lit by when you have a light on and then you turn it off and you're trying to navigate by what you saw in the last moment that the light turned off.
This trailer is lit by the memory of what light looks like.
It's not lit great, folks. If you told me, if you ran up to me and said, have you ever seen The Godfather? If you eat oranges, you die. But then you shoved a phone in my face and said, watch this trailer. I'd be like, okay, this is a trailer for a horror movie. What's it called? What is this? They're like, it's actually an X-Men movie, like a mutant movie. I'd be like, it was?
We'll see. We'll see when it comes out. I've never seen a movie that was delayed this much come out well.
I have, I'm not going to see this in the theater. I have no hopes for this. I'm not even interested in this.
I'll watch it when I can watch it, but I won't watch it in the theater.
Yeah, we have no faith in Fox-made movies, and I still consider this a Fox-made movie.
Yeah, we'll see what Kevin Feige says, though, because if he says it's in the MCU, if that's real, then I will care about it suddenly.
Yeah, it really will be a sudden change in outlook there. All right, so next up we have a trailer for a movie called Hunters, and this is actually the second trailer we've gotten for it.
Yeah, this is a series, I believe.
Right, that's right. Nazi hunting in the, what, the 60s?
It appears to be the 60s or 70s. If they're going to have these older characters that were in the camps in World War II, they're going to have to start making them period pieces. So that appears to be what they did here. I still say this looks like Amazon took their two properties, The Boys and Man in the High Castle, and combined them. But this trailer was pretty intense compared to the last one.
It really, a lot more action in this one, a lot more gunplay, automatic weapons firing, a lot more imagery, I would say, than the first one. And you have a little bit more of Scarface, what's his name?
Al Pacino.
That's the guy.
You're not going to do a voice?
Yeah, they put you in a movie. They put him in a movie. And they tell him to do a German accent. I can't do a German accent.
It's like, that one's right in your wheelhouse. I'm not going to move to the next thing before you do an Al Pacino voice.
You gotta do it. When you can do it, you do it.
I will say I'm more interested in this than I was in either The Boys or Man in the High Castle, so I might actually check this out.
Yeah, I watched that first season of Man in the High Castle, and I think I was looking at my phone to it or working on other stuff because it's real slow, and I don't know, like, not a lot happens. I feel like
I haven't watched it, so I don't really want to.
I'm not interested in the other seasons, I'll tell you that. So next we have a movie called Lock and Key, and this is a Netflix series, I believe.
Yeah, this is based on a graphic novel by Joe Hill, who is one of the sons of Stephen King. It's an extremely well-regarded graphic novel. I have not read it.
So one of the things I was kind of curious about is, who is this for? Because it looks like a young adult novel that was made into a series, but there's a couple of scenes like where a girl is literally like covered in blood. And I thought, well, gosh, that seems like for a little bit older audience. I don't know.
I think it's probably along the lines of, I think Joe Hill, being the son of Stephen King, sort of is a Stephen King type writer himself. I don't think it would be as adult-oriented as, say, The Outsider, the Stephen King show that's premiering on HBO this weekend. I think this is less than that, but still, like, a little more, I'd say a little more adult-oriented than The Hunger Games, but less than regular Stephen King.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, it looks like it's really well done.
Yeah, it's a really well-regarded graphic novel. I haven't read it, but all the people that I know that have read it really are into it.
Okay. Hey, it's really creepy looking. I might check it out.
I'm going to check it out. I'm hoping it's more of a haunted housey type thing than like a Stephen King horror thing.
Sure. Well, I tell you, probably something neither of us are excited about is The Boy 2.
I could hardly make it through this trailer.
Same. This is a horror movie.
Well, it's only like a 2-minute trailer. And when I was at the 1:60 mark, I was like, please just end.
Yeah, I was actually kind of bored watching this trailer too, because it's, again, it's a horror movie, so it's formulaic. You pretty much can see everything coming, and it's a doll. It's a movie about a doll. The doll's alive. Okay. You're like, okay, when are they going to show the scene where the doll's head moves on its own? And surprise, it's not the head, it's the eyes.
Yeah, they already did this. It was called Annabelle.
Yeah, and I don't want to see this. It's I don't care about this. I don't like this.
It looked like a combination of the movie Annabelle and the movie The Omen.
I've never seen either of those things, but I imagine you're probably accurate.
I've not seen Annabelle. I saw The Conjuring, which I think Annabelle is a spinoff of The Conjuring. And I saw The Omen, the original one. I think there's a remake that was like a shot-for-shot remake, which seems pointless. Yeah, not my jam.
I'm not going to conjure any money to see this, Nick.
No, me neither. I don't remember The Boy One happening, do you?
That's what I kept thinking. I was like, so this is a sequel. Where is the first one? Never heard of it.
I don't know where The Boy is, but here's The Boy Two. And if you're a horror movie junkie, I guess have fun with it. But I don't think this is going to go down in the annals of the great horror films of our time, especially now with all those like Blumhouse movies coming out.
Yeah. So next we have a new trailer for something that seems like it's been in the works for a while, but it's Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet. Did it used to just be called Mythic Quest?
I think so. I never saw the little addendum there until this trailer came out. I'd heard it referred to by Rob McElhenney as Mythic Quest a lot, though.
It's got the guy who was in that other show.
Yeah, Rob McElhenney from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Always Sunny, that's right. So it's got him in it, and this is the one where he wants to make a video game as a tribute to himself, and it's about the inner workings of this company of developers and whatnot. It's a comedy, right?
Yeah, but it is an Apple TV original show, so you'd have to subscribe to Apple for it. And I love Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but not enough to subscribe to Apple TV.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I still haven't seen any compelling content to warrant spending the money to get Apple TV. And I don't even own a single Apple product, so I don't see why I'm going to have to do this. In fact, I'm not going to do this.
I used to have some Apple stuff, and then when Steve Jobs died, they started making it basically the same as everything else, but worse. So I stopped getting Apple stuff.
Well, it's worse, but you have to pay more for it.
Right, yeah. So now I have all other things.
Next up, we've got a movie called First Cow. And it popped up on the screen, A24. I was like, oh, it's a horror movie. No, it's not.
Nope, this trailer was a lot better than I thought it was going to be when I clicked on a movie trailer called First Cow.
I have a theory about this movie.
What's that?
During this trailer, I will say personally, I thought it was a real boring, and they kept having things on the screen that was like, you won't believe the acting. The acting in this is so good. Boy, have you heard about the acting in this movie? And it's like, if your marketing team is like, we got to push the ability of the actors in here. We've got to tell the public that there's really good acting in this. It's because it lacks everything else, including anything interesting happening.
That could be. I was a little more interested in it, probably because I thought I had no idea what it was going in. But also, Toby Jones is in it, and he's almost got 100% track record of being only in good things. Stephen King's The Mist notwithstanding. So I'll probably check this out, and then we'll see. Because that's a pretty good theory. A lot of times, if a movie doesn't have a lot going on for it, they will harp on the acting.
The only part of this trailer that I remember is when he like makes these little cakes and this English guy eats it, and who's he from? Captain America.
Yeah, it was Toby Jones. He was Zola, Arnim Zola.
Arnim Zola. I just rubbed jalapeno on my eye, so.
Oh, that's why you're making that face. Why don't you take care of that?
Oh, I feel like somebody pepper sprayed me.
It was the director of First Cow.
Yeah, so he makes Arnim Zola cake, and he says it tastes like London. That's the only thing I remember from this trailer.
That was sort of the climax of the trailer.
So I probably won't see this. What do you think? Are you going to see this?
Not in the theater. I might watch it if it's streaming. Well, Ben is dying, and his eyes are closed. So next we have Harley Quinn and the Chamber of Secrets or something.
Yeah, the title of this movie is real long. I don't even know what it... I can't remember the name of this movie.
Or the actual title of the movie is Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Did you say fantabulous?
Yep, that's what it says on the poster.
Guys, what are we doing? DC, Warner Brothers, what are you doing?
They said Guardians of the Galaxy is fun, so let's be weird and make this. But they don't know what that means.
I think we're going to just get a heaping helping of trash until James Gunn gets in there.
Yeah, he's working on that Suicide Squad sequel right now. This movie does at least have Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it, who is great, and she is Huntress. And there's a scene in the trailer where Margot Robbie's like, "You're so cool," or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's how I would react if Mary Elizabeth Winstead came in.
You are so cool.
And Ewan McGregor's in it as the bad guy from the one Batman video game I didn't play.
Wait, what's the name of the bad guy?
Black Mask.
Oh, okay, cool. That's a cool villain. I like that Ewan McGregor's in it. I will say there is what took me right out of this trailer is right in the beginning where Margot Robbie is like, "I'm telling this story all wrong." But the way she says wrong is totally Australian.
I told this all wrong.
And so she's supposed to be doing like, "Hiya, Mr. J," you know, this kind of accent. But instead she's like Australian. So
yeah,
like,
she basically came out as Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Basically. So I wanted to like kind of get excited about this movie, like some, you know, some females kicking butt and taking names and all that causing havoc, and it'd be really colorful. That sounds like a recipe for something fun, but I don't know.
I've never liked Harley Quinn.
I think we all, I mean, I liked her in Batman the Original Animated Series, which is like regarded as one of the best written animated series of all time.
It's a great animated series. There's Harley Quinn guys and there's not Harley Quinn guys, and I'm a not Harley Quinn guy.
I gotcha. So then next we've got Waiting for Anya.
Yep, this one has Jean Reno from
Stranger
Da Vinci Code and Stranger Things. Wait, was he in Stranger Things?
He's Will, right, in Stranger Things?
Oh, that's Noah Shapp. Yeah, I was talking about Jean Reno.
Oh, who's Jean Reno?
Jean Reno is, he was in Da Vinci Code as the French detective guy, and he was in the 1998 Godzilla movie as the French guy. He's always the French guy.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Yeah.
But so, you are right that Will from Stranger Things is in this movie.
This is based on a true story.
Yep. It's the IMDb description for this is, "During the horrors of World War II, Joe, a young shepherd, along with the help of the widow Horcada, helps to smuggle Jewish children across the border from southern France into Spain."
So it's a period piece. You got Nazis. You got sneaking. Looks pretty good. Looks like the production value is pretty good. It's probably not going to be... It's not a joyride. It's something very serious that you got to be in the right mood for.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be like a good World War II movie, or if it's going to be like one of the sort of forgettable ones that comes up every now and then, like that Daniel Craig one, Defiance.
I'm trying to think if I saw Defiance.
It wasn't bad, but it was sort of like... just a flash in the pan World War II movie. Sometimes a World War II movie comes out and it's Saving Private Ryan, and then sometimes it comes out and it's Defiance.
Speaking of Daniel Craig, I still need to see Knives Out. I want to see Knives Out.
I want to see Knives Out too. I think it's out of theaters, so it's probably coming out soon on home video or like rental or something. I would like to see that before someone spoils it for me.
Yeah, I don't want that spoiled. Now, this next one, Nick, I need you to explain this next one to me. Just completely explain this to me.
Okay, season 4 of Fargo finally has a trailer. Fargo is a TV show on FX that is sort of a sequel to the movie Fargo from 1996. But each season has been its own standalone story. So it's sort of an anthology crime series that's in the style of Fargo. It is, in my opinion, the best show that's been on TV in the past 10 years. Season 1, 2, and 3 have all been perfect so far. Season 4 comes out in April, and this season looks to be set a little like maybe in the early half of the 1900s, and it's got Chris Rock and Jason Schwartzman, who's always one of my favorite people, and Timothy Olyphant, who's also great. And I can't wait.
So that makes sense to me now that each season is a standalone, its own story. Because I was like, I thought Fargo was like modern day, but here we are in like what looks like the 30s or the 40s or something.
Yeah, so they've each been their own. There's always like a little thing that connects them to each other. So like, there's the movie in 1996, and then their season one took place in it was like the early 2000s, so it was like still a period piece, but it took place in like 2002 or something like that, or 2006. It was 2006. And there's a thing that connects, I don't want to spoil it in case anyone watches the show and hasn't seen it yet. So there's a thing that connects it to the movie in the first season. And then in season two, it takes place in the 70s. And it's about, there's a retired police officer in season one. So season two is about him when he was on the force. And so there's a connection to season one there. And then season three, the connection in season three is back to season one again. So it takes place, season three takes place after season one, and there's a returning character, and that's the one that had Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it, and that's the reason why I said she was cool when we were watching the Harley Quinn trailer, is because she's so good in Fargo.
And there you have it. Next we've got something called Devs. And this is interesting to us because our man Alex Garland is making it. It's a series.
Yeah, it's going to be on FX, just like Fargo. So they're doing pretty well with TV stuff right now, it looks like.
Yeah, this looks like a very heavy gold filter put onto this trailer, and it's very much sort of in the same feels as Ex Machina, where you have developers of some secretive company or something, and there's weird stuff that's happening, and there's mystery involved. It's very high tech, and we have Ron Swanson in this.
Yep, who is also in season two of Fargo.
Yeah, so I will definitely be trying to check this out. I don't have cable, so I don't, but I have Hulu, so maybe I can watch it on Hulu.
It's going to stream on Hulu. That was even at the end of the trailer. It's supposed That's to be right. on FX through Hulu, so luckily you'll be able to watch it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, I'm going to have to put this on my list because I want to see this like when it comes out. Is it coming out this month?
March 5th, so we got a little while.
I can finish a couple of these other series before that, so that'll be good.
Looking forward to it. Alex Garland is 2 for 2 so far, in my opinion.
He really is. I love his stuff, so looking forward to that. All right, so that does it for all of the new trailers for the movies and television. We want to do a new segment, though. This was suggested by my own brother, Jackson. He's a listener of the show, friend of the show. And so a while back, Jackson had created an Ultimate Versus list. So these are characters from different IPs that you would want to see battle each other. To see who would come out the victor. So he's submitted his list to us, and so we're gonna talk about some of the ones that he listed, and then a couple that we've added, and then we'll have some each week probably. And if you want to send us some Ultimate Verses that you've sort of had in your head or that you've thought of before, that would be really fun too, I think.
And the decisions that we make on this pretty much will be final and would determine the fight if it happened in real life, because we have the inside scoop here.
Don't get that twisted, folks. So the first one that Jackson submitted was Master Chief from the Halo series, who's an 8-foot armor clad super soldier from the future, versus Predator.
I'm gonna give it to my boy Master Chief on this one.
This is a tough one because Master Chief has a shield. Okay, that's more futuristic than anything Predator has. Now, Predator is invisible.
Yeah, but you know who else can go invisible? The elites in Halo, and I've killed thousands of those.
Is Master Chief OP?
Well, he might be a little OP. The Predator isn't like a one unique being, though. It's a race of hunting creatures, so there's a bunch of Predators. It's just, you know, one Predator on its own versus Master Chief, who is a named special character. I think the named special character is going to win. He's got more to lose.
As I'm thinking about the nature of his shield, this electronic shield that he got around his body, kind of a thing, it can protect him from multiple shots. The Predator's shoulder cannon fires one shot at a time, and it's not like super rapid fire. So I think his shield would be able to stop that enough to where he could just shoot the Predator. So I think I will give this one to Master Chief as well.
Yeah, the Predator's a good fighter. I've given him the edge over certain other characters when I've had these discussions in the past, because this is just a thing that nerds do. And in this case, though, it's just, you know, it depends which Predator, I guess, too. If it's the Predator from the first movie, he got beaten by Arnold Schwarzenegger without any armor, and he's only like 5 feet tall.
But I feel like Master Chief and Predator are very similar in size and strength. I mean, Master Chief's like, what, 8 or 9 feet tall?
I think he's got to be about 8 feet tall.
Yeah. So they're similar in that regard, but when you're talking about tools and weapons and stuff, got to give the hand to Master Chief. Now the other Master Chief versus that Jackson submitted was Master Chief versus Iron Man.
And this one, they're both good guys, so I don't know. I would give it to Iron Man.
Iron Man can fly, so, and he's, yeah, I'm going to give it to Iron Man as well. He's got more firepower. He could take down his shield and hit him with a laser beam and just cut him in half, and you're done.
Yep. Also, he's got access to the Iron Legion. He's got access to the Hulkbuster. He's just got a lot more going on. And they're both named characters, so you can't sort of throw that one in there for this one.
Yeah. So we'll give that one to Iron Man. Now, these other, there's three more that I submitted just for some things that we are near and dear to the heart of the show here. So I said, what about Blade from the Marvel comics and the movies versus Geralt of Rivera from The Witcher?
I was thinking about this one. I've beaten vampires as Geralt in The Witcher 3. So I'm gonna side with Geralt on this one. Blade is a named character as well, so it's harder to beat a named character, in my opinion, when you're doing these, because they earn their name for a reason, and that's through skill most of the time. But I know how to beat a vampire because of The Witcher, so
my snap judgment is to give it to the Daywalker. I feel like he's a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit faster than Geralt.
It depends, because if he fits into the Witcher lore of vampires, there are different kinds of vampires, and if he is a higher vampire, then, you know, it might be Blade. But if he's one of the lower kinds of vampires, then yeah, I could beat him.
This is a tough one. It could be a draw,
because I would make some vampire oil for my blade. I'd use my silver sword. I'd hit him with a moon dust bomb. You know, I could take him down.
Okay. We'll have to see how they portray Blade in the new Marvel movies to really get a good idea of this.
Yeah, it depends. Because if he's a higher vampire, Geralt even says that witchers really don't fight higher vampires.
Oh, interesting. So the next one that I submitted was Goku from Dragon Ball Z versus Saitama, the One Punch Man.
I was thinking about this, and I think, in my opinion, it all comes down to, does Goku get punched when he fights? And he does. So I think One Punch Man wins this one.
This is a tough one. They're both like OP. They're both super powered. But you don't really ever see Saitama get hurt. You do see Goku get hurt.
Right. That's what led me to my conclusion too.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the only reason I'd give it to Saitama. Though I will say Goku has more tricks up his sleeve. And so while he could be doing those tricks, I just don't know. But here's the thing, dude. Goku has enough power to destroy a planet. And Saitama, you never see him destroy a planet.
I've never seen One Punch Man, but isn't the conceit of the show that it only takes one punch and then he wins?
Basically, it's a very tongue-in-cheek. By the way, if you have not seen season one of One Punch Man, go and watch it. Even if you're not a big anime fan, it's so good. It's very tongue-in-cheek. He's kind of a caricature of these overpowered main characters from animes. And yeah, he basically beats every bad guy in one punch.
And I don't think there's a single bad guy that has fought Goku that hasn't at least landed one punch.
I think you're about right. So I guess we'll give this one to Saitama.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then the last one I got here, somebody that we talk about nearly every episode for whatever reason, Hellboy versus Thing from Fantastic Four.
This one, I was thinking about this the most of all of these because I can't think who would win. The only thing I can think of is that they'd sort of have like a stepbrothers punch each other out ending where they'd both just be too exhausted from fighting to fight, and then they'd get drunk.
I actually think I'm going to give this one to Clobber in Time, Thing, Ben Grimm, because he's basically armored over his entire body where Hellboy isn't.
Yeah, Hellboy takes damage. He doesn't he's not super OP in the comics. So he gets beat up a lot.
So I think I'm going to give that to Thing. So Now, if you have some Ultimate Verses, please send those in to us. It will probably make it on the show, and it'll be a fun discussion. I like to talk about who would win.
I still say Hellboy and the Thing both end up drunk at a bar.
That could be a fitting end for that fight, absolutely. So, Nick, what do you say we give folks answers from last week's The Questions Times?
So our first question last week was, whose voice would you want doing an AI if you had an AI like in the movie Her?
So what'd they say?
So our buddy Charlie, friend of the show, for a male, he chose Taika Waititi, and for a female, he chose Kathleen Turner. And hard to argue with either one of those.
Yep.
Yeah, because you got IG-11 and you got Jessica Rabbit. And then Sheila, friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, she picked Ian McKellen, and she messaged me that she picked this before she even listened, so you guys were sort of on the same wavelength there.
And who wouldn't want a wizard in your ear, giving you advice on what to do and what to say?
I definitely would. Bridget, friend of the show, she picked Will Friedle for a man's voice. He's a voice actor. He did Ron in Kim Possible, which is a pretty good series. And then she picked Gal Gadot for female voice.
Yes.
Who's Wonder Woman.
Yes, a fantastic choice. I would also not mind Gal giving me advice.
She put in that she's a good singer. I've never heard her sing. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to look that up. Jay, classic friend of the show, Jay, said Christopher Walken, which is genius. I didn't even think of that.
He's here to give you tips and tricks sometimes.
I was trying to think of it like if the robots that I have, the Amazon robots, I don't want to say it because there's one right next to me. If I had to talk to one of those and it was Christopher Walken, and it would give me notifications. So like I have a Ring doorbell. So if you push the button, it would be like, hey, there's someone at the door. You might want to check that. You can pull it up. You know, it's a camera. It works.
That would be good. That's a good one, Jay.
Yep. And Steph said she would keep it as Scarlett Johansson. Classic. She loves Scarlett Johansson.
Of course.
So that was her female voice. And then for a male, she chose Pedro Pascal because of The Mandalorian. She said he has a soothing Mandalorian voice.
He does. Yeah. I think that'd work.
Yeah. The helmeted Pedro Pascal voice is a good one.
Yeah.
And then we had Rob Robo 1898 on Instagram. He picked Anna Kendrick for the female voice and Ewan McGregor for a male voice. And Ewan McGregor's awesome choice.
Yes.
I would want it every time I walked in the house, it would be like,
hello there.
And then Brad picked for a female voice Karen Gillan. And I was immediately jealous that I didn't think of that because you got that Scottish voice. And then he said David Gulpilil or Hugh Jackman. And those are both Australian guys, so I thought maybe he had just watched the movie Australia before commenting on this, because they're both in that, I believe. And then Clint, friend of the show, Clint, said Kate Beckinsale for a female voice and Alan Tudyk for a male voice, and I love that too, because you could basically have K2SO as your robot companion.
You know, I was thinking about Gandalf the Grey in your ear there, and I was thinking, you know who might be good?
Who's that?
Is old Richard Harris.
Because
there'd be like times where, like, say you're in the airport and Richard could be like,
your flight, you've got time before your next flight. It's it's not for another 2 hours. Why don't you go get yourself a yogurt?
That's exactly what I did when I was in the airport last time.
Me too.
What about his son, Jared Harris?
Do I know his son?
Yeah, Jared Harris. You'd know him if you saw him. He's one of my favorite actors, actually. He's in so many good things. He was Moriarty in the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes 2. He's in the Lost in Space movie from 1998. He's in the Chernobyl show. He's in everything. But he's got a similar voice. It's a raspy English accent. Oh, he was really good in The Terror on AMC about the old ships. That was a good show. He was in that.
I don't know that I've seen any of this stuff with him, or I don't remember him at least, so maybe I need to check him out.
If you looked him up, you'd probably recognize he's been in everything.
So then we have the question, what personality would you want that AI to have? And we got some great answers here as well.
Yeah, Charlie said Korg for a male and Valkyrie for a female.
I love Korg. I think that's hilarious from the Thor movies.
Yeah, I would hang out with Korg all the time. That would be great, because you'd walk in and be like, oh, hey, man. Hey, just have a seat down here on the couch. Let's play some video games. Eh?
It'd be so good.
Valkyrie 2, although, can robots be drunk?
I don't know.
So it depends if we have beginning of the movie Valkyrie or end of the movie Valkyrie, because I'd rather hang out with end of the movie Valkyrie.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be better, yeah. Yeah.
And then Sheila said Gandalf, in accordance with your choice that you tried to skip last week.
Gandalf is the right horse, for the AI.
What if your power went out, and then when it came on, it was like, I am Gandalf the White. and then Bridget said Alfred from Batman, Alfred Pennyworth, and that's a pretty good one. I would want the Michael Caine one, because Michael Caine himself would be a good voice to have an assistant, and then you'd trip, and it would be like, why do we fall, Master Wayne? So we can pull ourselves back up.
Master Nick.
I suppose you could also have, I didn't really care for Batman versus Superman, but Jeremy Irons was Alfred in that, and he's got a good voice too.
I sure remember the Tim Burton original Batman. There was Master Bruce, covered in mud. He was just when he's telling the story to, I want to say April O'Neil, but I know that's not right.
Yeah.
Vicky Vale.
Vicky Vale, yeah, yeah. So that's a good one. Jay said Jules Winfield for the attitude. That's Samuel L. Jackson's character in Pulp Fiction. I think you can actually do that. I think Amazon Echoes, you can actually get Samuel L. Jackson's voice installed as a modification. I haven't done it, but I'm pretty sure that that's an available option, Jay.
Where's my super suit?
Yeah, I think I would want a more toned down Samuel L. Jackson digital assistant.
Yeah.
Steph said Jarvis, Karen, Friday, or any Stark AI, basically.
Yep. Same.
That's a good one. Yeah, I would enjoy. Well, Friday is great because of that Irish accent, and then Karen is Jennifer Connelly, and I love Jennifer Connelly, so I would take any of those as well.
Yep.
And then Rob said. Jack O'Neill from Stargate SG-1. I don't think either one of us has watched the Stargate show, so I'm going to take your word for it that that's a good one.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know.
We can't really make an educated comment on that one.
I'm going to take his word, though, because his other answers were all very good.
Yeah.
And then Brad said Lucy from the Scarlett Johansson movie Lucy, which was a Luc Besson movie who directed Fifth Element. That was a really kind of bonkers movie, but it was fun to watch. And then he said, or Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. That's a good one. Data's a cool guy. I'm not a Star Trek guy, but everybody likes Data.
I liked him in Independence Day.
Yeah. And then I thought he died in that movie, but he was in the second one.
Yeah. We don't really have to talk about that second one.
And then Clint said Tars from Interstellar. Famously, I had badmouthed Interstellar in a previous episode, but Tars is a good character, and I did like him, so I agree that he would be a good one.
I actually thought about Tars for my original answers, and he did make the cut, but yeah, Tars is hilarious. It's such a good answer.
Tars was portrayed by the dude that was in Legion, that was the guy that could split into two personalities, two characters. That was the guy who played Tars. I think he was in the circus or something, so he was like an acrobat or something like that. But yeah, he was like a puppeteer and all this stuff, and that guy has a really cool IMDb history. If you want to check that out, just go to Interstellar and look at the guy who played Tars. And he's a really interesting person. Also, if you fall in a water planet, he'll run out and grab you
and turn into a star and run as a star.
Yeah, that was the best part of that movie.
That's so rad.
And then our final question last time was, what invention would you like in real life from a movie? And a lot of people went with Star Trek. So I've never been really a Trekkie. I loved the Star Trek Voyager series, and I watched that one religiously when it was on. But I got to hand it to Star Trek. Their inventions are some of the best inventions. So Charlie started off by saying the food replicator from Star Trek, which is what you said. It's just a good idea, you know. I would like that as well.
It makes life really convenient.
Yeah, yesterday we didn't want to cook anything, so I had to drive all the way over to Culver's, and that took like 18 minutes, man. You know, that's 18 minutes. I had to go out in the car. It was raining when we got back. I had to wait for my food. Not for me.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
And Sheila said the Pensieve from Harry Potter.
Yes.
That would be a good one.
Need that.
Yeah, you could I forget everything, so that would be a really helpful one for me, I believe. I'm thinking of the right thing, right? The Pensieve is that thing where you can view the memories.
Yeah.
I had to make sure, because I haven't seen those movies in a while. And then Bridget said the microwave from The Fifth Element.
Chicken, good.
Yep, I knew you were going to say that. that's a good one. It's another thing like the food replicator where it's give me my instant gratification. And Jay wants the enhanced technology from basically all crime TV shows.
Enhance. Enhance.
I love this.
Yeah, so you're looking at something and you just say enhance, and then it just enhances it.
Takes your grainy video and makes it HD.
Steph said she would like a live-in spaceship or like a jet, like the bus from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Serenity or the Millennium Falcon, something like that. And that is such a good answer, and I'm extremely jealous of it.
It really is kind of the best answer, because then you can go into space and you can visit things and fly around it like over lights, you know, hyperspace speeds. And yeah, and you can live on it. I mean, yeah. Yes.
I would want Serenity. I would live in the Firefly universe. You're under constant threat in the Firefly universe, but it's pretty much my favorite thing ever, so.
I don't like the Reavers, man. I don't want to have to deal with the Reavers.
Yeah, I don't want to get captured by Reavers and get shot in the head. I would live in the middle of the Firefly adventures, more towards the core planets, but still on the outskirts.
The better worlds. Oh, better worlds.
Rob said hyperdrive, so we could take that hyperdrive, slap it on the end of our ship that we just took from Steph. And then we're cooking there.
Yep.
Another Star Trek invention. Brad said the holodeck, so he agreed with me. And then he picked the Iron Man Mark 85 armor.
I don't know that I'm familiar with the 85 edition.
85 is the one in Endgame, so it's the nanotech.
Ah, the nanotech. Okay. Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Have it in a little tube, and then it'll come out and cover you up when you need it. I would like that, too. Especially if you can fly, and if it has an autopilot, because I'm sure if it's like any video game ever, I'd be bad at driving the suit. And then Clint said he would like a swoop or speeder bike from Star Wars, or is it Kaneda or Canada?
Kaneda. Kaneda, I think.
Okay, I haven't seen that. I'm not really an anime guy, but I know the bike, and it's a good bike.
Yeah, it's a very iconic, very cool bike. You probably saw it in Ready Player One.
Oh, was that in there?
The red bike is the one that the girl rides.
That's it, yep. Yeah. I would definitely take a swoop bike. As I mentioned on a previous episode, I got really good at driving them in the Shadows of the Empire video game, so I assume that does translate into real life, and I'd be pretty much an expert swoop rider.
Yeah, swoop bikes are cool. Like, Clint's real big into motorcycles, and a swoop bike is a motorcycle that you can fly in the air, and that's really cool.
And Lindsay, Quicksilver Babe on Instagram, chimed in only with an invention that she wants, and she said, Fifth Element Chanel nail polish and makeup device, K thanks.
I mean, it is very convenient, and it does like a perfect job in less than 1 second, so yeah, why wouldn't you want that?
All of these inventions that we all want are just things to cut down on time.
That is, you're exactly right. I mean, yeah, yeah.
So I was really happy with all of these answers. I know it's a good thing when I'm jealous of everyone else's answers that I didn't think of them. So thanks for sharing with us. Be sure to answer our new questions. I will post those probably on Monday like I usually do. I won't forget like that one time I posted it like on Christmas and we only got like 3 answers. That was my bad. But thanks for chiming in on those. And if you have any questions or you want to answer through email, you can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at trailerblazerspodcast. That is where I do the brunt of my social media interactions. So I try to, if anyone comments on something, I try to respond to every single comment so no one is left out. And you can follow us on Twitter at @trailer_blazers. That is where I do the least of my social media. And if you want to follow that, it'll tell you when a new episode publishes. And if you have time to rate and review us, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, which is still the best way for the show to gain traction.
And don't forget to send us in your ultimate verses. And if you do leave us a 5-star rating, I can promise you this, you won't be getting some random message from a Russian hacker asking for you to to do some things that you don't want to do. That's not going to happen. Now, if it does happen to happen to you, know that it did not occur from any actions that the Trailer Blazers have done. Okay?
Despite the fact that one of us does read Russian.
Despite the fact, listen, I want to tell you something. Correlation is not causation. Does that make sense to you?
It does, and I can assure you that I am not a Russian spy, although if it gets me closer to Kerry Russell in The Americans, I would certainly consider it.
Privyet. Как дела? I don't speak a little Russian.
Войнище войне знаете.
All right, now you've gone beyond the scope of my abilities.
All right, folks, well, that does it for today. So I'm Ben Moon, and I am not a Russian hacker nor a Russian spy.
I'm Nick Kelly, and I am the first cow.
Happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers.
And welcome back to the Vid Yo Games one quarter portion of the show, folks. There wasn't a lot.
No, this, I actually didn't have anything on the outline until like 5 minutes before we started recording. So you're pretty much getting the freshest of video game news.
This is real fresh. I mean, even if you listen to video game podcasts, they're kind of struggling through content as well. But we do have a couple things we do want to talk about. The first thing is there is a game in development that is coming out this year and then next year on the new consoles, but it's a game called, I guess it's called Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Yeah, this is not tied to the Peter Jackson movie trilogy of Lord of the Rings. It is some standalone Gollum game, I think, by the people who made the Shadow of War or Shadow for Middle Earth or something. Or it might not even be connected to that, but it's the same studio.
So Gollum, based on the books, you play Gollum in this game, and it's more, they say that it's more of an adventure game, less focused on fighting and battles and violence and that sort of thing. So it's, I guess, more focused on like exploration, I suppose.
And I think there's some sort of mechanic where it's sort of like Paragon and Renegade and Mass Effect, where you lean towards Gollum or Smeagol.
I think you're right.
What a bizarre concept for a video game.
That's what I thought. I thought, you know, gosh, I love Lord of the Rings, but you know what I haven't been able to do that I've just been desiring for so long is to play that creature Gollum. That's what I really want.
Yeah, when I think Lord of the Rings, I think, I don't want to play Aragorn. I don't want to be Legolas shooting orcs with bows and arrows. And I don't want to be connected to the very popular film franchise that everyone knows and loves. I want to play some weird fan fiction version of Gollum who, to my knowledge, spent most of his time in a cave eating fish.
Yeah, I don't, and like gently caressing the rings. I don't know why. This is so strange to me. And plus, you got to think, like, video game formulas, like, they're pretty established. Like, they sell for a reason. Like, you know, action, compelling content, and maybe they can do that with an exploration game as Gollum, but gosh, I'd have to see it to understand it.
All right, there's a quote in the article that I sent you from IGN, and it says, Tolkien didn't give a size reference for Gollum to begin with, art director Matthias Fischer told Edge. So in the first illustrations, he's gigantic. He's like a monster emerging from the swamp. What could that possibly mean in terms of how this game is going to play out? Like, is Gollum going to be like a giant weird monster?
I'm thinking they were toying around with the idea of different sizes, but hopefully they're going back to like a river folk normal size or smaller person, I would hope.
Yeah, because he might not have a size reference in the books, but that doesn't mean that he's a giant monster. He was definitely a creature that was like a hobbit, because the river folk were basically proto-hobbits.
That was always my takeaway too. And plus, if he's like being able to be restrained by the hobbits in Lord of the Rings, like he can't be gigantic.
Yeah. So I don't know. He said something about including different Nazgul in the game, and it's just it seems like a weird idea, and probably a bad idea. This whole game.
You think this is going to be a game that sells simply because of the way it looks on new consoles? It's just going to look really good, and people are going to... It's kind of like, you remember the Peter Jackson King Kong game was a launch title?
Yeah. The only thing I know about that is that it was really easy to get 100% for the achievements, because all you had to do was play through the game, and that's what sold that one.
Yeah, it was when there wasn't much available for the Xbox 360, you could get that game, and it looked good at the time. It wasn't a great game, but people bought it because, you know, there wasn't much else. So,
yep,
that might be the case here. So there are actual good looking games coming this year, 2020. And since we're here at the beginning of the year, I want us to talk about the games that we are really excited for. And it's actually a pretty short list for both of us. But Nick, what are you actually looking forward to this year?
So my main one that I'm looking forward to the most is Cyberpunk 2077. It's by CD Projekt Red, who made The Witcher, which is obviously I'm obsessed with. But it's first person, which is the only thing that I don't like about it that I've seen. I don't like first person games traditionally. So that annoys me a little, but I'm still extremely excited about it. I want to live in that Blade Runner type aesthetic universe, so I'm all here for that one. The Last of Us Part 2. The Last of Us Part 1 is probably my favorite game I've played storyline-wise, so Last of Us Part 2 looks great, and I pre-ordered the collector's edition of that, which I almost never do. And then I want to play The Ghosts of Tsushima, because that's a third-person adventure stealth game.
Yes, two of mine were those two of those as well, Cyberpunk and Ghosts of Tsushima. Those are... They look like very large games, sort of open world, but filled with very different but very beautiful settings. Cyberpunk looks extremely deep. I'm going to definitely be getting it for Stadia, so I can play it on 4K at the highest resolution settings. Maybe even Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know if it's coming out for Stadia or not, but yeah, definitely looking forward to those. They're both pretty gritty, but still very compelling. This year, I actually plan on playing The Outer Worlds. I didn't get a chance to play it last year. Definitely going to get... if it comes out on Stadia, I'll definitely go ahead and get it. But looking forward to playing that as well. And then I don't know if I'm looking forward to the Fallout 76 Wastelander expansion. But if it... I haven't even read about it. But if it is a single-player experience type thing, then I will definitely be playing that.
There's also that Marvel's Avengers game that I'll definitely be playing that. It does come out on Stadia if you decide to go for it, but that one I'll probably play. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of the gameplay for that one yet to know if I'm excited about it or not.
Yeah, I think we're going to be watching that one to see what it looks like, see what the reaction is.
We did buy a Switch, and that came. So we got the Switch, and we got Breath of the Wild, so I did start a game of Breath of the Wild.
It's great. Loved it.
I've only played it for like 25 minutes so far. Like, I only did the first two quests, maybe. I just learned how to put map markers down from that old man at the beginning, whom I'm assuming is a bad guy in disguise.
I will not tell you anything, but I beat it. I love that game.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun so far. So we have a Switch, so probably play some Switch games up in this coming year that I have on my radar, Pokemon and Untitled Goose Game.
Got to catch them all. I'm about to play Goat Simulator because that was free on PS Plus.
I have that on Xbox when it was free on Xbox.
Yeah, I'm going to try that out too.
It's chaos.
I love it. Well, tell us what video games you are excited about for coming up this year. We'll talk about it on the next episode if you write us, because I don't know of any trailers that are coming out this next week. We will definitely be on the lookout.
Yep, we'll keep our eyes open. This week was not a heavy video games release week. It was probably because everyone was so excited about the first Cow trailer that they forgot about video games.
Yeah, I'm still just playing Battletech, so.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild for me.
All right, folks, well, that does it for this week's episode of the show. Be sure to write us in all the ways that Nick told you to write us if you want to. You can do it. But until then, I'm Ben Moon, and I'm the Precious.
I'm Nick Kelly, and I am a giant golem who's 40 feet tall.
Happy Trailsers!
Happy Trailsers.
Can I help you?
Why, yes, yes, you can. I'm here to report a terrible crime.
And what terrible crime is that?
Our Megadon.